If you want to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6, we're going to be in there today. We're going to pick up in verse 16. If you don't have your Bible handy, they will be up on the screen. But while you're looking for Jeremiah 16, let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you that we're here in your house and in your presence. Lord, we ask that you speak to us. This is a passage that we don't look at very often. And so, Lord, speak to us. What were you saying to the people of Jeremiah's day, and what are you saying to us today now through this word? So, Lord, speak to us. And as always, we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Because we know that as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to do just that. Amen. Well, this is a passage from Jeremiah that we don't look at very often. And yet, I don't think there is a more relevant passage in all of Scripture for our day than this one. So let's jump in and take a look at this thing. Stephen, Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Let's start with some historical context and then we'll jump into the language issues behind this. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet to Jerusalem from 626 to 586 B.C., It was one of the most turbulent times in the history of Israel. The Babylonian Empire was rising, and Judah was spiritually drifting away in a big way. Jeremiah was essentially God's last-ditch warning to the nation, hey, get your act right. But Jerusalem falls because of the last line here, we will not walk in it. Jerusalem falls, and the people were exiled to Babylon in 586 B.C. So it's into this context that Jeremiah is speaking. So Babylon is rising, becoming stronger and stronger. Israel and Judah are falling. They're becoming very apostate. And Jeremiah is sent by God into this incredible milieu of all this junk to say, hey, you guys got to get your act together here. God gives this prophetic statement, the core of this statement here, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. So God is giving them some very clear commands, do these things, and then a promise. Now, I think to understand why God would make this prophetic statement, we need to take a little bit closer look at the context and see what else is going on here. Why is Jeremiah making this statement? So let's go to the beginning of chapter 6, Jeremiah 6:1. Stephen? Flee for safety, people of Benjamin. There's a prophetic word for you. Flee for safety. Flee from Jerusalem, sound the trumpet at Tekoa, rise the signal over Beth Haram, for disaster looms out of the north, even terrible destruction. That's a pretty encouraging prophetic word, isn't it? Here the prophet is warning the people to flee from Jerusalem because destruction is coming. The comment about disaster from the north was meaningful to them. You see, Israel was surrounded on the south and on the east by desert. The only way to attack Israel was from the north. So every country that had ever attacked Israel had come in from the north. And so when the prophet says, watch out for the north, they know, oh, that means an invading army is going to come from the north because they can't come from the east and the west. Now let's look at Jeremiah 6:4. Again, we're setting the context for why Jeremiah made this statement in verse 16. Here's verse 4. Prepare for battle against her. Arise, let us attack at noon. But alas, the daylight is fading and the shadows of evening grow long. Jeremiah is calling the enemies of Israel, come and attack. And attack in broad daylight. Attack at noon. That's how spiritually dead the people of Israel were. Jeremiah said, come and attack them in the middle of the day. They won't even notice. But it gets even worse. Look at Jeremiah 6:6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Cut down the trees and build siege ramps against Jerusalem. The city must be punished. It is filled with oppression. The prophet now tells the invading army to build siege ramps. He is giving them specific military instructions on how to take the city. All cities in those days had walls around them for protection, right? Jerusalem had probably the most famous wall. But they would cut down trees and then lay the trees up against the wall to build the ramp. And they would fill in the ramp with debris so they could just run right up those ramps and get into the city. So the prophet Jerusalem, he's supposed to be for the people of Israel. And he's saying, hey, enemy, come build ramps and just take the city and do it in the middle of the day. They won't even notice. Could God be speaking to us in our day? Uh-oh. But with a prophet like this, who needs an enemy? I mean, this is the prophet saying, hey, just come take the city. That's how bad things are for Israel. God and the prophet are calling for the immediate invasion and destruction of the nation and the city of Israel because of their spiritual destituteness. Now let's look at Jeremiah 6:12. Their houses will be turned over to others, together with their fields and their wives, when I stretch out my hand against those who live in the land, declares the Lord. Their homes, lands, crops, and even their wives will all be taken from the invading enemy nation. It couldn't be any worse for them right now at this moment. And Jeremiah is delivering this prophetic word to the people of Jerusalem, saying, hey, this is what's going to happen if you don't get your act together. And they don't get their act together. Now let's go back to the statement in 6:16. Student, put that 6:16 up there again, please. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. So against the backdrop of all of this predicted calamity, Jeremiah is saying, look, God's going to come. He's going to destroy your nation. But this is your way out. This is the way out of the coming destruction. So we better look at this pretty carefully. There are four parts to this prophetic statement. Stop, look, ask, walk. Four commands followed by a promise that we'll look at in a minute. Now the first command here that we see is to stand. But in the Hebrew, the word in the context that should really be seen as stop. The Hebrew word in grammar here means plant yourself, be deliberate, stop rushing. Plant yourself. I love that one. The people of the day were not aware that they were slipping away from God. So God, through the prophet, tells them, stop and take stock of what's going on. Stop and look around. Plant yourself for a minute. Could God be speaking to us in our day? I think a safe implication here is that they were too busy to notice how dead they were. It says stand at the crossroads. The Hebrew word used here typically means along the way. So as they were going along the way, stop and stand. Take notice. Then the second command is to look. The Hebrew word used here does in fact mean to see, but generally means to give advice to oneself. So receive some advice from what you see. Stop, plant yourself, look around, advise yourself. Now the third command here is to ask for the ancient path. So we need to spend a little more time on this. Seems to be the clue here, right? Stop, stand, look. What are you looking for? The ancient path. All right, so what does the ancient path mean? There are two Hebrew words used here. The first word refers to narrow, well-worn footpaths. Trails made by years of faithful walking in the same place. The second word used here means eternal or of old. Eternal is probably better in the context. So a good way to understand this then is the time-tested ways of God. Or perhaps even the eternal well-worn path, which is what I named this message. He's saying, okay, stop, plant yourself, look around. Where are the eternal well-worn paths? This is your way out of the coming destruction. Then the next statement or command is to ask where the good way is. The Hebrew word used here is the word for way of life. Coupled with the word good, the idea here is among all the paths, there is one that is genuinely good and morally and practically right. So stop, plant yourself, look around. Where are the eternal, well-worn paths that are the morally correct ones, the right ones? Could God be speaking to us in our day? So I think it would be good for us to find this way, this eternal, well-worn path of God. Well, how do we do that? What is the prophet referring to by these well-worn paths? Because I think this is the word for the Lord in our day. Well, as Scripture usually does, there are clues to this well-worn path here in the context. I see at least three here in chapter 6 and one in chapter 7. So let's look at these clues so we can figure out what these eternal well-worn paths are, because this is what God wants us to walk in. Let's look at verse 10 here in 6:10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. So this is right before Jeremiah says, stop, look, listen. He's saying, they find the word of God offensive, right? Is it any wonder they've drifted so far? Is it any wonder the whole nation, the whole tribe of Judah has drifted so far? They find the word of God offensive. Now you might be thinking, well, that doesn't happen in our day. I want to tell you a story. Amy and I have some friends that pastor another church in this area of Northern Illinois. Their church is about 30 miles west of here, so in this general Northern Illinois area. Last year in 2025, they decided to do a sermon series on the Beatitudes. You all know what the Beatitudes are, right? Stephen put up Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. All right, so our friends decided to do a sermon series on the Beatitudes. And as our friend made the comment, there's not a lot of room for commentary here. The Beatitudes are what they are. They're speaking of who God will bless, right? So he began to preach on these. People left the church because they were offended. They found the Beatitudes to be woke. Yeah. So what Jeremiah says here, that the people were offended by the word of God, is this a word for us in our day? I want you to consider Psalm 18:30, Stephen. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. How can we find the word of God offensive if it's perfect and flawless? Maybe it's our system that's wrong. Maybe we're trying to force our system into the word of God and it's not fitting, and that's why we find the word of God offensive. It happens in our day because the culture around us tells us that the Bible is not politically correct. But I think it's perfect and flawless. What do you think? Well, as I had mentioned, the context here gives us four clues as to what these eternal, well-worn paths are. So here's number one. Stephen, I have that in there too. Well-worn path number one, honor and obey the word of God. So remember, Jeremiah is giving this prophetic word to the people of Judah and Jerusalem saying, hey, this is your path. This is your way out of coming destruction. Rule number one, honor and obey the word of God. That's pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, we've got to extract ourselves from culture, but honor and obey the word of God. So that is our first well-worn path. Well, what else does the context show us? Let's go to Jeremiah 6:13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. The people of Jeremiah's day were greedy for gain, even the priests and the prophets. Could this be a word for our day? They all use deceit for gain. We can certainly see plenty of evidence of this in our day with greed and deceit, can't we? And some might argue, well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me. Well, the offering box tells a different story. If the offering box is empty, somebody's practicing deceit. So our second well-worn path, Stephen, put that one up, please. Our second well-worn path is practice financial integrity and be generous. What else does the context here show us? Let's go to Jeremiah 6:15. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. The people of Jeremiah's day were proud of their sin. Is this a word for our day? People make flags to their sin nowadays, don't they? But look at how the verse ends. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. Because of their pride and their sin, God is going to take them out. Now, is God any different today? No, God is unchanging. is human nature any different today? No, we're still proud of our sin. We're in trouble, aren't we? All right, here's our third well-worn path. Stephen, put that one up. Mourn over... Wow, that's a pretty big typo. Mourn over your sin, live rightly, and be set apart before the Lord. Now, to see the fourth one, our fourth path, we have to turn to chapter 7. In my Bible, before chapter 7 starts, there's a heading that says, false religion is worthless. So chapter 7 is now talking about false religion. Let's look at chapter 7, starting in verse 2. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. So Jeremiah was to go stand at the temple. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner or alien, the fatherless or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm. Do you think this is a word for our day? The first thing we need to notice here is that the people thought they could get away with it by doing it in the temple. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They thought they could get away with this deceit by doing it in the temple. Uh-oh. In fact, Jeremiah was to give this message at the gate or the door of the temple. But as always, God is looking out for the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. God says being unkind to the alien, orphan, and widow is false religion. Ouch. All right, here's our fourth well-worn path then. Be kind and give blessings to the aliens, orphans, widows, and avoid idolatry. So these are our well-worn paths. This is the pathway out of destruction. Honor and obey the word of God. Practice financial integrity and be generous. Mourn over your sin. Live rightly and be set apart before the Lord. Be kind and give blessings to the aliens, orphans, widows, and avoid idolatry. God is not asking them to do something new here. He is asking them to return to these well-worn paths of old, the things that God had always called them to be about. This is not new. They're eternal, well-worn paths. The fact that they were not doing these things is what now has them on the edge of destruction. Now I want to go back to Jeremiah 6:16 for a minute. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. We've discovered what those were. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Remember, stand, look, ask, walk. The last command is to walk. Obey these well-worn paths and walk in them. The Hebrew word used here can for sure have the meaning walk, but generally is in the context of behave. So God is telling, once you find these eternal well-worn paths, behave yourself. I love that. But then there's a promise here. God always does this. Whenever God calls us to something, there's always an accompanying promise. Here's the promise. Rest for your souls. Who wants rest for their soul? We got a few. I think we all need this. And I'm not just talking about more sleep. I'm talking about rest for your soul. I know we all feel tired today because of time change, but I'm talking soul rest here, right? Now, there are two Hebrew words that we need to understand. The first word comes from a root meaning to rest or to settle. It speaks not merely of sensation of labor or activity, but of the deep peace that comes when life is aligned with divine instruction. So we're talking about God's soul rest here. Then the second word here often refers to a place of rest. So our souls can be at a place of rest, abiding in rest as a location, as a place. And then as it describes the word soul here, it talks about mind, will, emotions, not our physical being. It's not our physical bodies that will be at rest. It is our emotional, it's the soul, it's the core of what God put in us that will be at rest as we walk in these four well-worn paths. It's interesting that Jesus says something similar in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Your soul. Isn't that interesting? Remember the prophet Jeremiah said that these well-worn paths were eternal for all time. So it's not a stretch then to say that these well-worn paths are the yoke of Jesus. But there's a rejection of the promise. Whenever God tells us to do something or calls it, there's always a promise. But often that promise is rejected by the people. Jeremiah 6:16 ends with, "But we will not walk in it." This is the rhetorical answer of the people. This is the gut punch ending. The invitation from God was clear and generous. The refusal was deliberate. The refusal is exactly what sealed the coming judgment of Israel and Jerusalem, as described in the rest of the chapter. And because they refused, Jerusalem and Israel fell and were exiled to Babylon. Are these four things really that hard? So you can put the four back up there, please. Stop, look, ask, walk. Honor and obey the word of God. Practice financial integrity and be generous. And that one will betray you, because if you're not, I see that. It's obvious to me when you're not there. Mourn over your sin, live rightly, and be set apart before the Lord. Be kind and give blessings to the aliens, orphans, widows, and avoid idolatry. These are to become our rhythm of life. And I'm wondering, is there just one person here today who can commit to walking in these four ancient paths? All right, I got three. It's pretty good. I want to end by reading you this. What's really interesting is I went to one of the popular AI tools, and I asked it to summarize the application for this passage, and I was surprised at how good it was, so I actually want to read it to you. So these are not my words. These are from Claude. Claude, the AI tool. We live in a culture of constant motion and noise, scrolling, reacting, rushing. The verse begins with a deliberate pause. Before making a big decision, changing direction, or reacting to crisis, the first move is simply stopping long enough to think. Number two, this is intellectual humility, acknowledging that wisdom existed before you did. Practically, this might mean going back to Scripture, seeking counsel from wise and seasoned people, reading older books, or sitting with tradition before assuming new is better. The ancient paths are ancient because they're not ancient because they're outdated. They're ancient because they were proven. The verse doesn't reward just knowing the right path. It rewards walking in it. This is where a lot of people stall. Application without action is just inspiration that fades. This is the promised outcome, rest. Not comfort or easy necessarily, but rest in your soul, a settled sense of rightness. Many people are exhausted, not because life is too hard, but because they're walking paths that don't fit who they were made to be. All right, I'll invite the worship team back up.